Welcome back to Liberty NZ. I'm Grant Edwards, and I'm speaking with Kevin McCracken from Starve the Beast 2021. That's the Facebook page. Kevin, we're talking about the Wanganui Māori government and how that could be a great avenue for the rest of us New Zealanders to protect our homes, our property, and our future. So the steps. Step one, go to that website.
That's correct, yes.
And then the Pledge of Allegiance, is it? What's it called, this pledge, is it?
Yeah, it is just simply called a pledge.
Yeah, okay.
So it's very much like having dual citizenship.
Okay.
So that you could actually become part of the Wakamaninga. At the same time, you know, you're having to live within the corporate system. So you can actually choose, a bit like having a dual citizenship. But you get to choose what jurisdiction you actually want to be in, because everything we do is about jurisdiction.
Right.
Yeah.
And so what about, you often see people getting pulled over and they'll say, oh, no, I don't come under your jurisdiction. And usually it ends really badly, having the windows broken and, you know, carted off to jail. But I did see one Māori fellow, and I think he might have said the Wanganui Māori government, and he had all his paperwork on the seat beside him. And he was only in his early 20s, if that. And basically the cops just walked away from him.
Yes, yes. Wanganui Māori government also have cards that you can purchase.
Yeah.
One to show that you're within their jurisdiction, and the other is actually for an exemption for masks and the jab. So,
this is great.
Yes,
that's great.
Yeah, so that's what they're doing. So they're actually becoming very strong.
Right.
A speaker on their behalf is Antoinette James.
Oh, okay. Yes, I've heard her.
Very, very good.
Yes. I'd like to have her on the program, actually, Antoinette.
Yes, yes. Well recommended to speak to her.
Yeah, and also people say, oh, she's tied up with that Māori stuff. But, you know, I think that you're right. I think that that putting that word in there is a bit of a stigma for a lot of us, not all of us, but a lot of us. And I don't think it's a racist thing. They just don't want to be controlled by, you know, a minority group. But the Māori word is a different meaning than what we think it means. And
that is exactly right, yes.
Yeah, so that's good. Yeah. So that'll be interesting. I'll follow her as well. What was it? James, wasn't it? Antoinette James.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good. Thanks. Thanks for that.
Because one of the problems that we have within New Zealand is the corporate government is being very cunning. One of the things I've noticed that when I go back to the 1840 Treaty and 1835 Declaration, and I look at the wording in in the Māori language, and none of the words that starts with W have an H after them, not one of them. And I cannot find any written literature that goes back that far other than those two documents. And yet we have words like Wakatani, it has an H in it, but, Waka is actually, for a boat. So some people say, oh, but that's just your dialect. But the problem with that is when you go back to 1835 and before, the dialect or the language that the Polynesians had never had a written language. So they've used the English alphabet for their written language. And the problem is that if you were going to spell waka, it would be W-A-K-A. If you were going to spell faka, it would be F-A-K-A. Because you would write it how you'd pronounce it, but that is never the case. So that is, yes, from my understanding, to put an H in a word that is not meant to be there, you're then changing translation. You could even change a document. And not only that, you're actually, in a lot of cases, separating the country because people do get their backs up. It creates separatism within a country. And I think that is what the intention of the corporate government is doing. They've just done it with Wanganui, exactly the same.
They have.
Yes, and that created tension.
Yes.
And if you've created tension, people are not going to come together when you got separatism. And that is what the government want.
They, you know, they don't seem to want us. They want us all divided, fighting so that they can be the hero and bring us all together, you know, under their communist regime.
We are all one. Yeah. We're all one within this land. And we're not separate. And that is the problem. Yeah. And that is the only way that government can control us. It's no different to, like you say, when you get the police will pull us up because we're on our own. But sometimes if the police pull us up, sometimes next minute there'll be two, three cop cars that would actually come up behind. But we don't have that same effect where we can't call on people to actually, you know, have that same number to act on our behalf so that they're actually fairness. All they're doing is actually creating that overhanded bully tactic.
It's a bully, a bully tactic. Yes. And a lot of people that have joined the police, especially in the last few years, they have their mentality is way different from the cops we used to know.
Yes, yes. And now we know that they're not a public servant. They are simply just a corporation.
They're just employees.
The police are a corporation,
Employees of the corporation.
They're actually, I call them private security for a corporation.
Right.
Because that is what they are.
Yeah, yeah.
They are just simply private security. The interesting thing about Wakamaninga, Maori government, is they're actually, they're having sheriffs. So they're actually creating sheriffs. So that is going to be the opposing force that we need against the corporate entities.
That does sound a little ominous. A little dangerous, or a little civil war kind of thing?
No, because a sheriff is actually a peacekeeper.
Mm.
So what you're doing is, or intending on doing, is, like I said, if you have the police turn up and there's a number of them, what they want to intend is you have a number of people that you can actually call on to create a different situation.
A level playing field.
A level playing field, yes. And like I say, they're only peacekeepers, and that's the intention of it.
Mm.
But what you're doing is there will always be power in numbers. And if we can come together in numbers, that will definitely be the difference in the way situations are handled. At the moment, police will turn up to somebody's home, and the people are outnumbered. You know, and then when the police are using force, there's no one to protect. Whereas if we have even simply a phone number to call that we can actually call on others for aid, we will create that level playing field, like you say.
It'd have to be a good number of us, wouldn't there?
Yeah, but as time goes on, I think, you know, that will happen.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, Wakamaninga Maori government, the numbers are increasing, quite rapidly.
Okay, that's good. Well, that'll be something that I'll be looking at. I'll put the links to the your Facebook page and also the Wakamaninga Maori government as well. I noticed that when you do a Google search for the Wakamaninga Maori government, you get about four Maori government, which is the one we've got in with the government right now, which is not the Wakamaninga, but they've done it in such a way that they've tried to make you think that that's it.
They've controlled Google.
And they've done the same with New Zealand doctors speaking out with science. They created a Facebook page, .co.nz, which is actually pretty much a government-controlled, state-controlled doctors just spreading disinformation, whereas the New Zealand, the true New Zealand doctors, speakingoutwithscience.com is the one that, you know, we wanted to go to, but they've put this thing there to trick people into thinking that they are the New Zealand doctor speaking out with science.
Yes, And those are the things that we're trying to highlight to open people's eyes to the deception. And not only that, realistically, we need to look at them as a corporation and say, well, in regards to if McDonald's tried to tell us what to do, we wouldn't listen to them. So why are we listening to the so-called government, which is just a corporation run by a CEO?
Yeah, that's a very good point. Extremely. And we didn't choose to be part of their corporation or to be ordered around by their corporation. No. I mean, that's a scam. That's an outrage.
Yep. And the only reason that we're actually following their rules is out of fear.
Fear and assumption.
Out of fear. Mm. Yes. The problem is that if it wasn't for the police, people wouldn't listen to the courts. They wouldn't listen to the government. Wouldn't listen. It's the fear of actually the police enforcing legislation, because that's what they are. Police,
yes, they're enforcers. Yes, that's right. That's
exactly right. And that's what they're doing. They're enforcing it.
Yeah. And they don't have that constable mentality, that, you know, that constabulary, which is what we had, which was part of the militia. The first militias were the constabulary. But now, as you say, they are private security for a corporation. And I totally accept that now.
Yeah.
So goodbye, constitutional monarchy. It was nice knowing you. Hello, corporation. And now we join the Wanganui Māori government. We've signed or pledged to the what do you call that first thing you do when you go to that page?
You just sign the pledge. Yeah,
you agree to it,
you agree to it. Yeah.
And then what you're a citizen then, are you, of the Wanganui, or you're a
you're just part of their part of their society, so to speak.
Right. Okay.
You come under their jurisdiction.
Right.
That's simply all it is.
What about the properties? How do we keep them protected?
So what you'll do is you'll email within the Wanganui Māori government, you'll send an email,
right,
and they will send you instructions on what to do to actually put your land into native title.
And is there a fee for that? I mean, there should be.
There is a fee for that. Yeah, there's a $100 fee to do that.
Oh, okay. Well, look, I think I've heard of this. A friend of mine was saying to me, there's this Māori fella, and he's in their church, in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and he said for $100 that he'll do it all, and it's been very successful, and then you can protect your property, and you can do what you like on your property, you can build whatever you like, so long as you don't harm others, does it also mean you don't pay rates?
That's correct.
Do you pay rates to the Wanganui Māori government?
No.
Nothing.
No, you do not.
Just rates user pays.
Yes, that's exactly it. It is user pays. Mm. When you pay rates, you're saying that I have a landlord.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that you are, definitely.
You know, yes, and not only that, they are totally controlling everything you do while you pay rates. The interesting thing about rates is rates are actually not for services. Rates are actually a land tax.
Yes, that's right.
The word rate in Black's Law Dictionary either means a shipping rate for cargo or government tax. So when you get your so-called invoice, it just simply says rates tax invoice. So it is outright a tax invoice. And we have letters from councils that state that rates are not for services. So then our question now is, why are you charging GST when it's not a service and we're not getting any goods from you? Why are you charging GST on a tax? That's fraud.
Okay, so now you've joined. How long ago did you join the Wanganui Māori government?
Ah, that probably might have been 3 months ago.
3 months ago. Okay. You've transferred your property over to native title through then?
That's in the process now.
The process now, yeah. And does it require sending off notification to councils and the government and the judges?
No, nothing like that.
Okay.
What they've done is Wakamaninga have trespass notices that you can actually print off to put at your gate, so that it's notifying that you are under a different jurisdiction.
That's great.
It's recommended to fly the Hei Waka Putanga flag, because that's showing that you are under that jurisdiction.
And can we buy those flags through this website? Because they should be getting a bit of money off it.
Yeah, they? I'm not sure if you can get through it. You can certainly buy them on Trade Me. There's a lot. I was up the top of North Island probably a couple of months ago, and there's a lot of those flags the top of North Island, and it's great to see.
Well, I'm up in north of Whangarei, and Whangarei, did you get that?
Yeah, that's right. I say Whangarei as well.
I really like it. And so the Māoris that are involved with the Whangamininga, do they say Whangarei as well? Probably not, eh?
To be honest, I couldn't tell you. The reason I first looked at this was because when I went on to look at the declaration document, it was on a government site. And when you look at the declaration, it was actually spelled WA. But all the anything that the government has actually created, all the wording around it, and an H in it. And I thought, but the original declaration doesn't. So who started to put this H in these words when the original document does not have it?
Does that have a legal significance or a lawful significance?
If you change a letter or a word within a contract, that will, certainly give it a different meaning. It'll certainly take away power. So, I would say it has a huge effect. If you're going, if somebody writes something and adds a letter to a word that was never meant to be there,
it's no longer a contract. Huge.
It's exactly right.
So do you think they've introduced that on purpose so that we grab hold of it and start using this WH in our contracts, and they say, but hey, this is not a valid contract.
And they won't tell you.
No, they won't tell you why.
And they won't even say it's not valid. They'll just accept it, but they won't recognize it because it's been changed. So that has huge consequences.
Yeah. And now, where are you planning on taking all this?
At this stage, to be honest, I don't really know because as time goes on, more information comes out. And what I want to do is I want to make people aware of all this information.
Well, the more, the merrier, isn't it? Because we need those sheriffs.
It is. I do this simply to make everybody aware of the fact that things aren't how they seem to be. And not only that, as you're in the corporate system, you are a slave.
Yes.
And I want to make sure that we are no longer slaves.
Good on you. So how do we overcome the stigma of people saying, oh, I'm not going to be tied up with a marriage? You know, how do we overcome that?
The easiest way I've done it was when I looked at the word Maori, you know, it's not until 1843.
Explain what
that
means.
So you say, and when you look at etymology and you put in any other Maori word, it gives you no result. But when you put in the word Maori, it gives you a result. So you know that it was actually an English word created. So that's the starting point to show that things aren't what they are seem to be, or what they seem to be.
A young fellow was corresponding with me, a young Māori guy, and he said, well, where did the term Māori come from? You know, he knew, but I didn't know. I thought, I don't know. Right. I said, I have no idea. I don't know. So, but now we're learning that it was created by the British.
Yes, and it means indigenous people. Treaty.
And it means anyone that's living on the land, is it right?
Yeah, basically native to the land.
Native to the land. And so when do you become native to the land? After how many generations?
Anybody born to the land would naturally be native to the land.
Okay, so if you're born here, you're native to the land, so you're Māori as far as?
As far as the word was given.
Right.
So it's a little bit to get your head around.
Oh, that's not all right. Well, it sounds like that's what we've got to do, doesn't it?
It is. We've got to change our way of thinking. Really do. We've got to do our homework. We've got to look into things more. We don't just accept what is said, even with what's being said today. People need to now go away
and do their homework.
Yeah. I mean, all I'm doing is bringing things to light so that hopefully people will actually see a different way of looking at things.
Right.
They will get a different concept to what they've been taught. Because when we go to school, we're taught to be a good comrade. That is simply it.
Yeah, that's
we're
right.
Not taught to think. We're not taught to see a different point of view. They just want us to learn their way and be taught their way and only think with your head down, tail up, basically.
That's exactly right. I was just saying to my son this morning, I said, we're all trained to be followers. Even the medical people, the doctors, they go into a medical school, which is controlled by the pharmaceutical companies. All they learn is the names of diseases and the names of the drugs that they believe that will treat those diseases. They have no idea of disease itself. They don't really know. They think it comes from outside and attacks the body. But there's a whole new theory out there, cellular theory or terrain theory, which says the complete opposite to this germ theory. And it seems the germ theory is what they want to use. They want to push that because there's fear behind it. Oh, watch out for the germs. You need this vaccine. You need these drugs, you know, and that those things cause you even more grief and just keep you bound to the system. And so these doctors, you know, you think that they're, you know, thinkers, but just look what happened in COVID. They didn't use their 8 years or 6 years of medical training. They just did what a spin doctor at, female prime minister told them to do.
Exactly.
I'm so angry about that. And I've got every blooming right to be angry because I just feel that these doctors let us down. The lawyers let us down. Everyone's let New Zealand down. You know, people that are in professions like doctors and lawyers. Why aren't the lawyers speaking out?
Well, do you know the interesting thing about the lawyers? When you go to sign your documents for a home loan and they get you to sign they get you to put a piece of paper and you sign a waiver for independent legal advice. The interesting thing about that is if you don't sign that and you go see another lawyer, that lawyer is not independent because they're all still part of the same society.
The law society.
So then the law society. So they are not independent. So
and same
when
with
you
the doctors.
Say,
they're all peer. They're all just groupthink. They're just doing what they're. If they come up with saying, I don't think this is what the cause is, well, they'll be struck off. You know, from the society or from the medical council, because so it's not really a peer review. You're not allowed to review it in a wrong way. You have to review it like you all have to agree with one another.
That's right.
How are we going to get ahead with that kind of thinking?
Yes.
How is medicine going to move forward? We're just trapped by the pharmaceutical by corporations again. There you have it.
That's right. So that's why I'm right behind Wakamininga Maori government,
okay,
because they're creating freedom.
Sounds really good. Do they have any spokespeople that would come on and talk to us?
I would think so. Mm. Like I say, Antoinette James, travels the country.
Yeah, I'd love to have her on. Yeah.
Yeah.
If she could be bothered. And,
she's a very good speaker.
Yeah,
she's done quite a few videos on YouTube and so forth.
Yes, I've seen a couple. I liked what I heard.
Yeah,
and do you have a contact for her?
I probably
an
do
email?
Have. Yeah, I do have an email that I
yeah, that'd
be
great. Well, we'll talk about that later. Well, thank you very much, Kevin. Kevin McCracken from Star of the Beast Facebook page, Star of the Beast 2021. And shall we mention 2022 as well?
Yes, so 2022 is just so that you can't comment on that page, but you can download all the template letters and so forth.
Right. But you would recommend that instead of going it alone with Allodial, which is where we thought we were all heading there at the beginning, we go with the Wakamininga Māori government and we come under their jurisdiction. And you think we'll have a better chance of staving off the bullies?
Yes, most definitely. The way I see it is we have common law, and a lot of times common law, people were standing on that for a long time, and allodial. But I think personally it was just a stepping stone to wake people up to something better.
Mm. And you're right. There's people all over the world. I know an American who's very interested in the whole idea of protecting his property through either native title. And I think he's making inquiries with the Native Americans to become part of their government.
So, yes, Australia's doing the same now.
Good. Yeah. Oh, that's great. Well, thank you very much, Kevin McCracken from Starve the Beast 2021 Facebook page.
Great.
Pretty good, mate.
Cheers.
Some interesting information, eh?
there's a lot to it. You know, it's yeah, I mean, like I say, I do get asked to speak a couple of times and so much information and people go away and they go, look, I didn't sleep last night, you know, because much is going around in my head.
Yeah. I can't wait to get off this call and get onto the Wakamininga Māori Government page and check that out.
Yep. Well worthwhile, you know. Yep. It's but the thing I like is it's very basic, very simple.
Very good.
And that's the way things should be.
We better go out and buy a flag. We'll get our United Tribes flag and get that flying out the front.
Yeah. And like I say, they've got the trespass notices.
Yeah.
And what I did was, like, I'm being an Ashburton, I just went to the guy I know that's got a sign writing shop, and he actually just mounted it, you know, so that it's all weather signs.
Brilliant.
And he did them in A3. So he exploded the A4 that, you know, he put them into A3 so that they're much better readable.
And are they not scary? Like, what if your neighbours drive past and go, oh
no, no, they're not scary, not by any means. That this is actually more aimed at the corporate officials.
That's okay. So everyone's welcome except for corporate officials.
Basically, yeah, it's warning the officials, you know, that you come on this land, you're under a different jurisdiction.
Yeah, you can be marched off.
Yeah, very, very much so. Like we're dealing with a court case at the moment where these people have got unpermitted buildings. And they got taken to court. Wakamininga actually, they have got involved in that. So it's going to be very interesting the outcome from that.
Can you keep me up to date with that? I'd really like to know how that's going.
Yep, very much. People up in Tauranga that I'm actually, because these people are in Tauranga. And I know a lot of people in Tauranga, even the likes of Bill Turner, you know, we deal with all these people. Wealth of knowledge.
That's brilliant. Thank you, Kevin.
Now, I was going to say one thing. If you want to read more about the Constitution of 1986, go onto YouTube and Bill Turner did a fantastic video on the Constitution and the Imperial Laws Act. He did that a few months ago.
Brilliant.
Brilliant video.
Absolutely fabulous. Thank you so much. Now, I look forward to having you on again if you can.
Yep. Okay. Yep. No, good as gold.
Thank you, Kevin.
Radio.
Bye.
We'll see ya.
A woman from New South Wales has died after taking the AstraZeneca.
An 18-year-old health worker has developed blood clots after getting her.
An elderly woman has died in what's believed to be South Australia's first case of fatal blood clotting caused by the AstraZeneca.
A Queensland man is in intensive care tonight, suffering a blood clot after receiving his AstraZeneca vaccine. He's one of five similar cases around the country.
Six new cases of blood clots have been officially linked to the AstraZeneca vaccine.
Three more cases of blood clots have been linked to the AstraZeneca vaccine, including one case in an 80-year-old man.
53-year-old South Australian man is tonight gravely ill in intensive care after suffering a blood clot linked to the AstraZeneca vaccine.
In breaking news, a Central Coast woman has died after receiving a COVID vaccine.
The head of the Therapeutic Goods Administration is calling for calm following the deaths of two people in our state who received the COVID vaccine.
Concerns around the safety of the AstraZeneca vaccine have been realised here in Australia, with medical experts confirming the death of a Central Coast woman is likely linked to the jab.
A major medical investigation is underway tonight over whether a local man suffered blood clots as a result of getting the Pfizer vaccine.
Australians are being urged not to jump to conclusions over the death of a woman from blood clots after receiving the COVID vaccine. Tonight, 7 News can reveal another similar death is also being investigated.
Authorities in Norway are investigating the deaths of at least 33 elderly Norwegians who received Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine.
The nation's medical regulator has
revealed 7 new cases of blood clots linked to the AstraZeneca vaccine.
A Launceston family is pleading for help after their teenage daughter fell ill after receiving the Pfizer vaccine. Faith Ranson has been in and out of hospital and suffers almost daily tics after experiencing what a leading doctor admits was an adverse reaction to the vaccine.
It's estimated 79,000 people have suffered adverse reactions to vaccines.